Thank you, New York. Today, we're reminded of the power of community and the power of coming together. Athletes, on your mark.
The first woman to finish for the second straight year here in the New York City Marathon is Mickey Gorman, a smiling Mickey Gorman, and why not?
2:29:30, the time for Gurdwijk's.
Look at the emotion of Shalane Flanagan as she comes to the line, pointing to his chest, pointing to the USA he so proudly wears across his chest. A great day for Mev Kapleski.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Set the Pace, presented by Peloton. I'm your host and New York Roadrunner CEO, Rob Similcare, and with me, Peloton's Bex Gentry. Bex, great to see you this week. How you doing?
I'm feeling very good. How are you? How was your long weekend?
It was lovely, thank you. Got a little running in, a little fun in, trying to get myself focused on this little half marathon I'm supposed to run this weekend. All systems are go for that. Was able to do a little training run, 10K over the weekend, and everything felt good enough.
I cannot wait to see what you run. I'm gonna be there.
I don't know. You know what I'm noticing, Bex? Like, the first mile for me has just gotten harder and harder and harder as I have gotten, let's just say, a little bit older and older and older. I think by mile two or three, I'm generally feeling like myself. But these first miles are really tough for me right now. And I'm actually thinking about this, Bex. Like, what is the best way to get myself to the starting line ready to run? I'm starting to think I need to run a mile before I get to these races because it's just taken a while to work out the stiffness. What do you do?
I would absolutely say running a little bit before gets you in your rhythm because that's all it is. And it is age. It's just physiology. It's age. Your body takes a little bit longer to start clicking. The synovial fluid takes longer to get more viscous between your joints. So you feel it as you're older. So yeah, if that means you're going to run a mile and a half, just make sure you do it at a really steady pace because you don't want to burn out before you start your half marathon this weekend. So do a few strides, get yourself feeling energetic, get the blood pumping, put on your favorite music, and have a minute to yourself, you know, like dance like no one's watching, run like everyone's chasing you, that sort of saying.
I love it. I'm taking that advice to the bank because I definitely need to get moving. I'm looking at my splits on Strava and it's like that first mile is like, can I just erase that thing and not have that count? So that's excellent advice. Thank you for those out there who are in similar, time brackets, age brackets to me. You can take that all to the bank. I'm sure a lot of people out there can relate. Bex, we got a lot of great racing coming up here in New York. The MasterCard New York Mini 10K just over a week away. Oh. And we just announced our pro field. It's a great, great pro field we'll be talking about during this show. And this is a special MasterCard Mini 10K episode we're going to have today. So not only do we have someone who is going to be competing in the event, one of our members, that's our member moment coming up, but we also have the man who puts these pro fields together. Sam Grotewald, who works at New York Roadrunners, is our general manager of professional athletes, will join us to talk about this amazing field he's put together for the mini, as well as his really cool job, Bex, getting pro athletes to come to our big events in New York, whether it's the mini or the United Airlines NYC half, or of course the TCS New York City Marathon. Sam has one of the most fun jobs in running, and he's going to join us a little bit later on.
He really does. He and the whole team, I am always in awe of their knowledge, their expertise, but their passion too. They are such passionate run nerds. And I feel like I see a lot of myself in Sam, and I want to learn from him and Dorian and Christine every single time I meet them.
He is great. And so he'll be joining us to talk about his job and the mini field coming up. And by the way, that MasterCard New York mini field includes all three of the women who will be representing the United States at the Olympics and the marathon this year. Dakota Lindworm will be one of them. Dakota will be our guest on Set the Pace next week. So look forward to that. And by the way, speaking of the Olympics, Bex, there'll be someone who we know quite well on Set the Pace there as well. You, Bex, will be at the Olympics with the NBC Olympics team covering the games. What an awesome experience for you. I'm excited for you, Bex. I, by the way, have had a chance to do that myself three times. So there is nothing more fun than covering the Olympics with NBC. I know you're going to have a great time. How excited are you for that?
Beyond. It doesn't feel like it's really happening. I cannot believe that I am going to the Olympics after having tried out for the Olympics for Team GB a few years ago for the marathon. I am kind of pumped that I actually get to go and experience it without the pressure.
Not the running pressure, exactly. It's
not
a different kind
pressure.
Of pressure. Yeah, it's a different kind of pressure. When that red light goes on, you'll feel it, but in a totally different way and in a very fun way. It's such a great team over there at NBC. All my friends over there, Becky Chapman and the whole team who does such a great job. Molly Solomon, of course, the executive producer.
Yeah.
So you'll be well taken care of. I'm sure you'll have a great time in Paris and look forward to watching you do
Thank
your
you.
Thing. On the NBC coverage this summer. By the way, folks, we've got a great member moment coming up today. Our friend Meb Kofleski will be with the amazing Julianne Grace. Julianne is a New York Roadrunners member who is about to run her 48th, yes, 48th mini 10K, which is amazing. The mini 10K, for those who don't know, a women's only road race that has been around for a very long time, since the early 70s, the original women's road race in the United States. And Julianne has pretty much been there for just about all of them. So she'll join Meb in a little while. And in keeping with our two phenomenal guests, the Meb Minute will be all about the role that pro men can play in elevating women in the sport. So stay tuned for that as well. Bex, before we get to our guest, it is so beautiful outside today. And spring is my favorite time of year to start a new workout routine.
Totally agree, Rob. With the weather warming up, it just feels like so much easier to get into the rhythm of things.
One of the things that works so well for me, Bex, about Peloton is whether I've got 20 minutes to kill or a full hour for a Pilates class or maybe an outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything I need to help get me going.
It certainly does. It is such a great way to get a head start on summer with Peloton. You can find it at onepeloton.com.
Well, you may have seen the news that the MasterCard New York Mini 10K coming up has an incredible pro field. And the man who's in charge of putting that field together for New York Roadrunners, as well as our pro fields for the TCS New York City Marathon and the United Airlines NYC Half, is Sam Grotewald. He joins us here today on Set the Pace to talk about what I think is one of the most interesting jobs in all of running. Sam, great to have you.
Thank you, Rob. Thank you, Bex. It's great to be here.
And, you know, I have to at least give you the credit to say that Sam was kind of a last minute backup guest today because Helen O'Beery was supposed to join us, but we had some connection problems. Helen will be back another day. So we threw Sam right into the mix here, and no one is better prepared to talk about pro running than Sam. Sam, I'm sure people out there who love running would love to have your job. Can you just talk about what it's like to do what you do, which is make sure that we've got incredible fields of pro athletes, both men and women, at so many of our events, the events that include pro athletes, and what it's like to actually do that job?
Yeah, I get that a lot. How do I do what you do, Sam? And I don't have a great answer for that. I in some ways lucked into this job 20 plus years ago, and we've built this really cool thing. But it wasn't a job that existed. It wasn't something that I applied for, when I started my time at Roadrunners. But it's also, you have to be a running fan, but it's much, much more than that. I'm not watching running YouTube videos all day and listening to podcasts, although that's part of it.
You listen to this podcast every single week, of course.
100%, sir. most of my day is spent in Excel spreadsheets, tracking things and little details and things like that. So it's you have to be a running fan, and you have to stay very much in tune with what's happening in the sport. And we just are coming out of a big weekend with things going around all over the world. But also it's a million details. It's a lot of risk management. A lot of budgeting and reporting and those kinds of things that that aren't super sexy, aren't super cool, but are a vital part of this job.
It is unreal. Sam, one of the first times we met was when I first joined the New York Roadrunners broadcast team, and I was blown away by your knowledge, your passion for the running world and your knowledge. You've already said, you know, 20 years you've been with New York Roadrunner, so I can't imagine the change, but how do you stay up to date with everything?
I think like any fan, over the course of that 20 years, Bex, things have evolved. I mean, Twitter wasn't a thing. Instagram wasn't a thing. Podcasts weren't a thing when I started. And those are all tools now that help fans of the sport and people who work in the sport stay in touch with what's going on. And in fact, it's helped me get to know athletes better, see them outside of just results on a page, right? So as things have evolved, it has helped me do my job better. It has also created more work. We have a podcast now that we need to line up athletes for, and we have social media initiatives that we need to get athletes involved in. So it's changed things, I think, for the better for everybody. But yeah, it's like any fan of the sport, I'm watching the broadcasts and I'm looking at results every day and every weekend. And I happen to be lucky enough to have that be part of my job. But like anybody else who's really into it, that's I have to be.
Sam, I have to congratulate you on an incredible field that we've got coming up at the MasterCard New York Mini 10K. It's featuring four past champions of the event, five Paris 2024 Olympians, and seven of the top 10 finishers from the 2024 U.S. Olympic Marathon Trials. It's incredible. Some of the headline names, Sam, of course, Simberi Teferi, who is a two-time champion of this event and the event record holder. Sarah Hall as well, the two-time race champion, as well as the 2022 TCS New York City Marathon champion, Sharon Lochetti. And then, incredibly, all three Americans who make up the three women who will be representing the United States in Paris, Fiona O'Keefe, Emily Sisson, Dakota Lindworm, will all be at the starting line in Central Park next weekend. So it's incredible. Sam, how does a field like that come together? When did you first start talking to all these athletes and their representatives? And how long does it take to get something like that to happen?
Yeah, thanks for saying that, Rob. The mini of all the cool things that I get to do through my role with New York Roadrunners, the mini is probably my favorite. I love the history of the race. It's really truly a great celebration of running and of women as the women's original women only road race. So this really all started the weekend of the U.S. Olympic Trials this year in Orlando. And before the race, I talked to all the top contenders, all the agents and coaches of the top contenders, and said, "Look, if your athlete makes the team, we would really like to have all three at the mini this year." And so it all started there. And immediately after the race, I approached each of the top three women and said, "We'd really like you to come in June and work this all out." And we were very fortunate that everybody's schedules aligned and that they're all going to be on the starting line on June 8th. So it all started in Orlando. And once we had those three, everything else kind of fell into place. And you mentioned Simberi Teferi, our two-time defending champion. She broke the event record at the mini last year. We always want our defending champions to come back. So she was a huge priority. We love Sharon Lochetti. And after her amazing runner-up finish to Hellen Obiri in Boston, we reached out to Sharon and solidified her participation and just went down the list of athletes that we value and athletes that we prioritize. And then along the way, there's these new ideas that come up, and maybe they weren't somebody that you were thinking of. So Ava Kemboy, who was the NCAA 10,000 meter champion last year, I didn't have any way of reaching her, but somebody contacted me and said she was really interested in running. And she's got a really sparkling personality. And so that was an opportunity that we jumped at, but not one that I had been thinking about initially. So there's these athletes that we prioritize and value and try to lock in quickly. And then there's these new ideas that come up along the way. And maybe they're a compelling addition to these stories we're trying to tell. So it's a little bit of both.
Yeah. I mean, it is such an impressive field. I'm wowed. I'm upset. I'm not going to be able to be there to run or to cheer this year.
That's disappointing, Bex.
I know. Next year, I promise. But from the runner's perspective and the runners out there who are looking at, especially our top three US Olympian marathon runners, what are we thinking that they are going to be performing over a 10K distance when they are a matter of weeks away from the biggest day of their life over the marathon distance?
Yeah, well, I think the fact that they're all here and we've got a lot of cool stuff lined up for them that weekend, some promotional things, but also I have to acknowledge, we all have to acknowledge that they are training for a much more important competition over a much different distance, you know, a few weeks down the chain. So then again, Emily Sisson is a competitor and she has finished top five in the mini twice. I know that she's going to do her best to bring it. And Fiona O'Keefe just ran really, really well at the night of 10,000s in the UK. So we know that she's in great shape. So I have to acknowledge that they'll have marathon training in their legs and that this isn't their goal race for the summer, certainly. But I know they're all competitors and I know they're going to give us and give fans and spectators and the ESPN Plus broadcast their best effort on that day. So that's all we can ask of any athlete, but especially these three women who have this very, very big opportunity looming on the horizon.
Yeah, Sam, your job's interesting, I think, any year, but in an Olympic year, it is even more interesting and very much a different job, I'm sure. And so if we kind of flash ahead to Paris in August, and I think you'll be there watching how these races play out, not just the Olympics, but the other distances as well. How will you then start talking to athletes and their representatives about the TCS New York City Marathon in November? Because now, all right, they've had their Olympics. Some will have a good Olympics. Some will have disappointment, of course. And many of them will, I'm sure, be looking for what's next, right? Especially the ones who didn't maybe have the performance that they were hoping for in Paris. So when do those conversations start and how does that work?
We're about 2 months into those right now, Rob. The impact of the Olympic Games, particularly on the TCS New York City Marathon, it exists not just in that Olympic year. We've been very pleased with the US athletes that we've gotten in the TCS New York City Marathon the last couple of years, right? But also a lot of US athletes have gone to other races with faster courses, let's say Chicago or Cal International or things like that, trying to get the Olympic standard, trying to get the Olympic trials qualifying time. And now I think a lot of those athletes want to run New York this year. So I think we're going to be blessed. I'm optimistic that we'll be blessed with more top Americans maybe than we've been able to have the last couple of years, although we've been very pleased with the US athletes that have come and run in New York. And then for those athletes who compete in the games, and we know who that list is going to be now. The only option for them in the fall is New York. Berlin's too close. Chicago's too close. Valencia in December also works for some athletes. But so any athlete that's competing in the games, if they want to run a marathon later in 2024, New York is probably best positioned to do that. So then it's a matter of just managing everything and accommodating as many people as we can. We can't take everybody, but accommodating as many people as we can and still trying to fit into these narratives that are important to New York Roadrunners. We like saying that we have the most diverse marathon in the world outside of the Olympic Games. It's typically between 25 and 30 countries represented in the professional athlete field. That's something that's really, really important to us. In 2021 in Tokyo, we were lucky enough to get three of the six medalists in the marathon, in the TCS New York City Marathon that fall. That they had all been secured for New York well before the marathon in Tokyo. So we didn't know we were going to get three of the six medalists. And that's something that maybe could have only happened in the weird year that was 2021 and may never happen again. But people who run well in the Olympic Games, it's always great to have them do a victory lap in New York in November. And also there are people to your point who don't have the race that they want and want to redeem themselves. And New York is often well suited to do that. Paula Radcliffe in 2004 rather famously dropped out of the Olympic Games marathon in Athens. And New York snatched her up and she won the race that year, her first of three victories. So it works that way too, where somebody doesn't have the race that they want in the games, and we can potentially be there to provide a little bit of redemption.
Well, the courses are somewhat similar as well. I've heard the marathon course in Paris versus 3 months later, giving it a go on a similar elevation and topography. Is that, have you heard the same thing?
Yeah, everybody that I've spoken to who has seen the marathon course in Paris is freaked out because mm-hmm. it's really hard. I would say, I haven't seen it, but I would say it's, from what I've heard, it's even harder than New York. So we'll see what happens. I think, you know, somebody who runs well in Paris probably has the capability of running well in New York, right? I'm not saying that they will, with given the tight turnaround, and it's likely to be warm and humid in Paris. And it sounds like that course is really going to beat people up. But yeah, I mean, and that's something we look at too. I often say that people who are good athletes, who are good cross country runners, tend to do well in New York, not just because of the ups and downs, but because of some of the uneven footing on the roadways and things like that. So it sort of seems like Paris would be a course that's suited to good cross-country runners too, multiple loops and the big hill in the middle. And so I think athletes who succeed in Paris have the potential to do really well in New York too.
Sam, one of the cool things about your job, not only do you recruit these athletes to our races, but you get to know them. You have relationships with them. I've seen you at events and they all, you know you by name, and you're chatting with them in the hotel lobbies and at the start and finish lines. Who are some of the athletes you have really gotten to know who have been some of your favorites over the years, just in terms of people and your enjoyment of just knowing them as individuals in addition to being athletes?
Oh my goodness. You know, I would say that Meb Keflezighi has become, over the course of the 20 plus years that I've known him, has become a very close friend. Jenny Simpson, who I know you've had here on Set the Pace, Jenny and I are very close. Abdi Abdurrahman, I think he's finally decided to end his career, but Abdi and I basically came up together and we competed against each other in college, and both entered the sport, him as an Olympian and me as somebody just working in the sport, working for New York Roadrunners, became very close. So Abdi's somebody that I remain very, very close with. The thing is, you know, as I get older, Rob, you know, the athletes coming up are much, much younger than me now. So it's my relationship with them is different. I used to be the guy that would go out and take them shopping or take them out for a beer after the race or go out on a training run with them. Now I'm the guy that looks at my watch and tells them to get on the bus. So my relationship with them is very different now. But yeah, no, it's we work in a sport and we exist in a sport that is largely diva free. And that's really cool that I get to work with so many cool people and so many cool personalities and people who are so appreciative of the opportunities that they've been given to compete in this sport and to you know, potentially make a living in this sport.
It's super, super interesting. And I love the bond. I do, as Rob said, the bond that you have with the athletes and the way that you can guide them. A lot of the athletes, I think, who come to New York, especially for the first time, must be massively overwhelmed. And then they have this angel in the form of Sam who comes and just puts them on the bus or tells them to go where to go and have a good run, whether you run with them or not. Have you had any very, I don't know, what interesting conversations? Have you ever, anyone who's stuck in your mind as coming to New York and being really struck by the city?
Yeah. Well, first of all, it's not just me, Bex, right? You know, my partner in crime is Dorian Kale, New York Runners Director of Professional Athletes. And she, you know, she does a lot of the blocking and tackling behind the scenes that maybe sometimes I get credit for, but she absolutely deserves that credit. And, you know, we report to Christine Burke, who is really, really good about helping me see things in other ways. So I really value, you know, Christine's support and all that she's done, you know, for me and Dorian. I think the two most interesting races in terms of what you're talking about, Bex, are the New Balance Fifth Avenue Mile in September and the Abbott Dash to the Finish Line 5K in November, which also has served as the USATF 5K championships historically. And I call those out because those tend to be the athletes where we get the youngest athletes coming. First experience at New York Roadrunner events, often first experience in New York City, often. So those it's those races where they're I think the wettest behind the ears, the greenest, and maybe the most can be the most overwhelming. I think about the Dash and the 5K championships. Lots of times that's an athlete's first ever pro race, right? They're just coming out of college and they've never seen an event of that size, a road race with 12,000 people lining up behind them. And we're really proud of how we take care of athletes and our whole hospitality operation. Again, that's all Dorian. So, you know, they've never, that's something that the most athletes haven't experienced ever in college or where they were coming from before they got invited to that race. So those are the two where really, I think you get to see these sort of wide-eyed kids, show up and it can be overwhelming, but we try to keep everybody calm, and we try to. I say this to the team all the time: if we act like we know what we're doing, if we stay calm, then the athletes would be calm. If we act like we don't know what we're doing, if we act stressed and anxious, then the athletes are going to pick up on that. So, you know, my job and Dorian's job and our team's job is to just stay calm and at least pretend like we know what we're doing, even if we don't always know what we're doing. But that's our job, to keep people calm, because when they're calm and when they feel confident, then they're going to run their best.
All right. Well, we're going to have a very accomplished and I'm sure also very calm field coming together at the MasterCard New York Mini 10K. It should be a lot of fun. Sam Grotewald, who put it together for us. Sam, thank you for joining us. In a pinch, we appreciate you, and we will see you down the road. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Bob.
We're just a few days away from the iconic MasterCard New York Mini 10K women's race, which this year is Saturday, June 8th. Founded in 1972 and celebrating women's liberation, the race empowers women of all ages and fitness levels to come together. It was initially called the Crazy Legs Mini 10K. Now, the Crazy Legs moniker is saved specifically for women who have run the race at least 15 times. Today's member and Crazy Legs runner has 47 finishes, and now it's a family affair as well. Her daughter, Dee Dee, has 43 straight finishes, and her three granddaughters have run the race as well. Meb, take it away with Crazy Legs runner, Julianne Grace.
I am so excited to be introducing and be able to chat with Julianne Grace on Set the Pace. Julianne, can you tell us about your first race? How well were you trained?
Oh, that is a funny story, actually. My husband got me started running in 1971. He took me out one evening because he had gotten hooked on running in the 1960s. And we did a mile. I hated it. I huffed and I puffed, and we came home and I basically said never again. So we waited a couple of days, and then he dragged me out again. And so that's how it started. And I went from 1 mile to 2 to 3, huffing and puffing, but I got to like it better. I ran my first race in 1972. It was on Mother's Day. It was all women in Fairfield, Connecticut, and I won. Now, I was coming toward the finish line, and I saw this tape. They had it stretched across at waist high on the street. I went under it. I didn't know you were supposed to run through it. And of course, everybody cracked up with laughter. So that's how ignorant I was about athletics. But my first mini was the first certified 10 kilometer mini in 1975. Now, the mini started in 1972, and for 3 years they had it as a 6 miler. But 1975 was a big deal. It was going to be a 10K, and it was my first 10K. Now, to put things in perspective, there weren't so many women running in those days. We had 276 finishers in that mini. I was not dead last. I finished 175th. I've kept my records all these years. So I loved it. The feeling of solidarity, of being in a race with women of all ages. There weren't too many of us, but over the years, that mini has grown and grown. And last year, I think we had about 8,000 runners.
That's amazing, Julian. Thanks for that perspective and depicting the picture how it was. But now, I know you've done the mini many times. And how has women's sports changed or running since you first began running? I mean, I think mainly now is women dominance in the racing. But how has that experience been for you to see that?
Well, it's been quite amazing. And I've done it, think about it, through the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, and into the 2000s. At the beginning, it was definitely improved by Title IX coming along. All of a sudden, it was more respectable for women to be in athletics. In the early days, it was weird being a woman runner out on the roads. I had beer cans thrown at me out of cars. I had curse words, usually guys coming by in cars when I'd be out training. And then it changed. I'd say by the late 1970s, there were many more women running. And certainly in 1984, when women were going to be in the Olympic marathon, it was such a big deal. So the 80s, running exploded. It definitely did. Now, all through those years, think about it. The New York Roadrunners sponsored this woman's race every spring. I have to give a shout out to the New York Roadrunners because we've had terrific sponsors over the years, MasterCard most recently, but we had Advil and Legs and Circle of Friends and early on Bonnie Bell. But there were years when there were no sponsors. And the New York Roadrunners kept that women's race going through thick and thin. So kudos to the New York Roadrunners. And women's running now is just accepted. Last year, when I was out there, and I, you know, very much at the back of the pack because I'm much slower now, just to look around and see girls and women, each with an individual goal, each standing there ready to put her feet on the ground, one foot in front of the other. What a pure and wonderful sport running is. Don't you feel that way?
Absolutely. Running unites us all to the best we can. But I wanted to ask you, who were the role models that helped you trailblaze or that kind of says, you know what, I can do this in that era? What women did you were inspired by?
Oh, I would say in the early days, Nina Cusick was a standout. I mean, she was so brave and such a terrific runner and humble about it. I really looked up to her so much. And then, of course, Joan Benoit Samuelson. I mean, Joni was, again, everybody's idea of a fabulous runner. So much grit, so much determination. And I must say, in recent times, my daughter has been my inspiration because I got her into running, and she far surpassed me as a runner. But for the last few years, she has done the mini on crutches because she has dystonia, focal dystonia in her right leg, and she can't run anymore, and she can't even walk unaided. And just to see her resilience and digging deep and getting it done, I mean, to think about doing 10 kilometers with hills on crutches, it's pretty amazing. So yes, I've been inspired by many women over the years. And speaking personally, I think every woman that runs gets a sense of self-confidence and achievement from it. It's just to go out in a race or even on a training run and to finish that distance. What an accomplishment, really.
Well, Jillian, you have been a trailblazer into that arena of the mini 10K. And to have your daughter, Didi, finish 42 straight and having your three granddaughters run the race, what does that mean for you to be along the course with them?
Oh, it's just love. The three girls do it for their mother and their grandmother. Every year they turn out. The oldest one, my namesake, Julianne, it'll be her Crazy Legs 15th mini. And, you know, think about it. She will be 30 in July, and she's run the mini 15 of those years, shown up, you know, regardless of what else is going on. I mean, she has her doctorate, she's had school, she has work, and so do her sisters. But to have, we don't run together as a pack, if you will. We all come in together, but we each run, and with my daughter on crutches, her youngest does it with her, and I've done it with her a couple of times, but we run separately, and then we convene at the end. We always have a picture taken of the five of us, and we celebrate every spring. It's our thing in the spring.
You know, it's just wonderful story to have those family ties. But what makes you come back to the mini year after year to have that spring of family reunion? But what makes it so special?
Well, some people have said I'm inspiring. Other people have said I'm insane. I think insane is probably a little more like it. It gives me a goal. I see family members, obviously, different times during the year. But somehow that mini shines there like something at the end of a street where you see it and you want to get to it. It keeps me going. I've been very lucky and I'm very grateful. I still have my original knees and hips. And at age 86, that's saying a lot. But I get out and I run from 4 to 7 miles, typically 5 days a week. And it's pretty flat here in Florida. And of course, the mini has hills, but it's a goal. And I think each of us needs goals and each of us needs to move. My message to people in the octogenarian period is move. Just move. If you can walk or run or bicycle ride or do yoga, move. So to me, it's movement and keeping at it, keeping a goal. I'm trying to build up my distance. So I've been doing more 10-kilometer and 7-mile runs. I try to do intervals during my runs, you know, a speed up and then a slow down to a very slow jog. But I have to admit, I've gotten much slower over the years. I mean, last year I finished the mini in 14-minute miles. And I know a number of people in my age group are running much better than that, but I keep on slogging along and I figure I'm an example of just an ordinary person running. You know, you do what you can. I got new running shoes and I said to them, you're going to be my, you know, fast running shoes. So I took them out to break them in for the race. Well, I came back and I had to say to them, you did not do a good job. To be a fast running shoe, you need fast running legs. And my legs are just not fast anymore.
Well, you said it well. Just it's about movement from point A to point B. It doesn't matter how fast or how slow, but getting it done. And you've been done that for many decades. So thank you for joining us today. And thank you for being a New York Roadrunners member. So appreciate you guys and good luck this weekend.
Thank you very much, Meb. Actually, it'll be my 48th mini. And my daughter's 44th. And I'm hoping to make it to 50 in 2 years. Then I might retire or I might keep going. Who knows? So I appreciate being with you, Meb. You've been one of my heroes over the years. And I hope you're still running and enjoying it.
Julian, we all inspire each other. We encourage each other. I still love to run, even though I retire from competitive, just like you, from point A to point B to be the best that we can. Yes, the pace is slowed down, but it doesn't mean you cannot have fun. And especially when you have inclusiveness of family and generations like you have done, you've been a trailblazer in this to help women's running. And I just appreciate you and great to be with you. Thank you for the kind words.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us, Julianne, and for being such a long and dedicated member of New York Roadrunners. We wish you luck in the Mini 10K coming up. Now it's time for today's Meb Minute.
Today's Meb Minute, I want to talk about the role of professional men have elevated professional women in the sport. Listen, sports is beautiful. Sports unites us. And the role of professional men how has helped professional women goes way back with Bobby Gibbs, Catherine Swither, John Bonoy, Dina Kasher, Shalane Flanagan, Desi Dillenden, and many others. But what is the motivation? The motivation is to cover the same distance, be invited to practices, to shake out runs, to races, leading by example. You know, a self-confidence is such an important thing, saying, hey, you got this. For example, for me, when I was training in Mammoth Lakes or San Diego with Dina, the great Dina Kasher, we used to play a role. You know, she might get a little bit of head start to try to see if she can get there before me in the 8 mile so we can finish the same time and also do cool down together and things like that. So she used to play around with me, say, catch me if you can. And she would get about 3 minute head start on an 8 mile run. And I would work my butt off as she is to be able to get to that finish line almost about the same time. But that's the fun to have as a professional athlete and interaction with others. You know, there have been others. You know, I'm pretty sure women can testify to like the great of MB Barefoot, Frank Shorter, Burr Rogers, or Ryan Hall in the United States. And every nation, like with overseas in Europe or in Africa, they have the interaction with other women to make them best version of themselves, make them great. Because whether it's giving them shoes, giving them product, or allow them to meet an agent or businesses, helps them be the best version of the sport. And I remember personally, you know, and the New Yorker runners, when Mary Wittenberg was the CEO, she said, hey, in one of the years, the woman's going to get more prize money. And I said, you know what? That's great, because every runner that works the miles, that works hard, deserves to be treated like king and queen. And those queens are pretty amazing. So I wish the next future will hopefully be the same or better.
And that does it for another episode of Set the Pace. We want to thank our colleague, Sam Grotewald, as well as New York Roadrunners member, Julianne Grace. Bex, thanks to you as always. And remember, if you like this episode, please go ahead, subscribe, rate, leave a comment. It really helps people find the show, helps us hear from you as well. So please go ahead, take a minute and leave us a review. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll see you next week ahead of the MasterCard New York Mini 10K. Enjoy the miles.